Based upon the thrust of this little epistle to the Sardis church or the church at Sardis, I'm beginning to be able to see into the things that was really happening there, why they had fallen away and were now dead. You know, on the others, it had to do with the attack of Nicolaitanism and Jezebelism, and which was a challenge to idolatry and turning aside in a blatant way in getting to worship. It was challenges of worship and faithfully God, a kind of a turning away from the true God and into some kind of a false presentation of Him, or even an allegiance to something other than the God of the Bible. And I have classified the different kinds of things in those two churches, the three churches really, but Pergamos and Thyatira in particular. They were, at Pergamos, they were concerned, the Lord was concerned about their involvement in the doctrines of Balaam, the influence that were upon them, and the doctrines of Nicolaitans. The Lord said He hated those things, told them to repent or He'd come quickly and fight against them. In other words, they would be enemies of the cross and they would find themselves in conflict with Christ Himself. Let's see if I can summarize it. Let's see here. What have I done with my summaries? Nicolaitanism. Driven by the lust for power and position. Status-driven. Balaamism. Driven by lust for acceptance and power of wealth. Position-driven. Status-driven by Nicolaitanism and possession-driven by Balaamism. Jezebelism. Driven by the lust for the power of religious control over the souls of men. So power on earth to declare what is truth beyond and above the Word of God. So you put them all together and you have Catholicism. But you have the seeds of that in every church. Well, that wasn't the main drive there in at Sardis. It wasn't the main thing that caused them to fall by the wayside. It was just basically getting caught up in day-to-day issues that you wouldn't think are drawing you away from and challenging the doctrines and your perception of who is God and what is the correct way to understand the Bible and to respond to it and behavior. That wasn't the thing that got them. The thing that got them was just day-by-day operations within their lives, and they lost their capacity and appreciation of the fact that they were at war. And they had to be astute. They were just kind of cooling off. And they hadn't bothered to sustain their spiritual focus at all. They just kind of let it drift away. Now, the Ephesians, they had sustained a religious zeal. These people had not sustained a religious zeal. The people at Ephesus lost their first love. And in that they were manifesting a religious zeal, it was a dastardly presentation of Christ in that thing that He hated among the Pharisees of Israel. Of course, the Pharisees were thinking the works were for salvation. The Ephesian church didn't. But the Ephesians were thinking that the outward form is a true manifestation of spirituality and got really hateful about it. But this church wasn't any of those things. They had lost their first love. They really had. But they weren't. They had no religious zeal to go with it, to give for them to stand up strongly and say, "We are the manifestation of Christ." You understand? And so that's the what I'm perceiving about this church at Sardis. Probably the same kind of, more of the malady of what happens to this kind of church, Mission Boulevard, where people come in there on fire. They get involved in school, they get involved in their job, they get involved just in recreation, entertainment, or whatever. They get involved in things and they forget what it's all about. And pretty soon, you don't see them much anymore engaged. Maybe they're coming, but you know they're not witnessing. You know they're not Nobody would know they're a Christian unless you ask them, and then they'd say, yeah, we're Christians. But they're not being, he said they were dead. Which means they bore no fruit whatever. Just like Abraham was not able to bear fruit, and so the Scripture said he was dead. When God called him and said, I want you to bear fruit. And so it had to be supernatural. God had to intervene supernaturally. We have to intervene supernaturally with us. We have to sustain that supernatural involvement of God in our lives in order not to die in terms of being fruitful Christians, meaning bringing souls to Christ. Bringing souls to Christ. We live all these years, we don't care about souls. We don't care about it. What do we care about? Well, we get together, we talk about issues of our job. Issues of those things happening around us of this present world. That's where our focus is. That's what we're all about. But we have not engaged and sustained the engagement. Those are where God's placed us in our job and in school and in our areas of involvement. He's placed us there to be a salt and light. And the light goes out. The salt loses its savor. And so forth. Now notice what he said to these people here in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. In verse 3, verse 2 says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Then he said, be watchful. And I did do a little bit on that one, but I went right on down and just kind of passed it by and wasn't real. I just said, be watchful means let's get busy. And I use the analogy of stirring a fire that's gone out as far as the flame's concerned, but inside of it, if you push the ashes around and push them off of it and stir it up, there's some embers down there. And so I indicated, be watchful, get to going, don't let this thing die out, do some stirring in your life. Stir it up. And let's find those embers down there. What are the embers? What are those embers? What are those things that are almost dead? It's not there anymore. Well, it's down there. Your first love is down there. The love for Christ is down there. If you've been saved, it's down there. Your desire to please God, it's down there. If you've been saved, you may have forgotten it, but it's an ember deep down inside. It's too deep down. It's too far now below the consciousness. Other things have taken its place in your conscious mind. You need to stir it up. You know, let's get it going. But here's what he said first. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the thing which remains means what just kind of like what I gave you the analogy about. You can all connect to that, can't you? You can't just let it go. We can't just be saved one day and then just let it go. You know why? Because the real fact of the matter is we're engaged in war, spiritual warfare. We have created a culture that is at war with all of the cultures of the world. And they would blot you out. By that, I mean the demon powers and spirits that are energizing and generating and electrolyzing. All of the cultures are against you. They're not neutral to you. They're hostile to Christ. They are not Christ. They are anti-Christ. We're arrayed against flesh. Yes, we are. But behind all of that is spiritual wickedness in high places, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. We're in a war. If you don't realize that, then you're just going to go out and you're going to be like the Jewish people back in the days of Nehemiah, who went to rebuild the walls and to the place of worship and the place of protection and provision. And if you had not been aware, if they hadn't been aware, they were at the walls, they were just going and tried to build it. They would have pulled up all the materials and all the tools and set about to build it without considering that there was an enemy out there. They would not have survived. They would never have got the job done. They had to be watchful. Not in the sense of, oh, that's a nice scenery. Oh, I believe them. They were watchful against an avowed enemy that was waiting and determined and relentless to destroy them. And so are you. Do you understand that? Do you? When you go to school over here, you're being confronted by issues and powers and principalities that are determined to shut you up and to change your mind. And it's the same everywhere you go. It's permeative all around us. Our children are being snatched out of our bosoms. Our wives are being polluted. And so are we. Ourselves. We can't just walk around like, oh, this is a nice jaunt. And not realize there are things all about waiting to leap out to destroy our lives. And our why? To destroy our testimony and our witness. To defeat the cause of Christ. Did you not know that? When you were saved unto good works. You weren't just saved. He left you here to be the army of God and to build the walls of God and the house of God in order to be strong and to save our culture so that the gospel can go forth and the souls of men can be saved and the abundant life can be lived. Now look over here in Nehemiah. Here, this will leave you with a good example. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. We'll just do a little exposition here and leave you with this powerful impression. Nehemiah, Esther, and Job. Nehemiah chapter 4. He's come back. First, he's had a real pity party. He has realized that Israel and Jerusalem was in reproach. It broke his heart. He got down and mourned it. Repented. And he determined, we need to go back and rebuild. God had arranged everything that they might do that. And so has He with us. And when they got over there, they found themselves at war, unfortunately. When it says over in chapter 4, verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. When Satan comes to the recognition that there is a church being built here, or anywhere, or anybody has risen up to do something to bring glory to God, somebody's mad, and Sanballat is the typology. It is, first of all, Satan and his minions. He has the power to draw our armies together to destroy the herds of Job. And to have a hostile and angry spirit toward the people of God. He was wrong and took indignation and mocked them. I preached on this before years ago. You can get probably the tape somewhere. God, Satan's first option against these people and often the people of God is to mock us. To bring us down to a low status in the eyes of everybody around us. Don't be like these people. You don't want these people around. You don't want to align yourself with these people. They're a bunch of jerks. They're crazy. They got things all mixed up. Well, look at them. Their women are modest. And they are faithful. And they have the qualities of not being harlots. And their men are kind and honest. They are fools. Something is wrong with them. They're not like us. He spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? We got them down once. We want to keep them down. Don't let them rise up. Don't let this baby be born over here. Kill it while it's a babe. Kill him all along the way. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he should even break down their stone wall. Look, they're preachers. They're not very well educated. Look, they're not the rich and the powerful and the dominant of the world. We can easily break them down. We ought to go over there and tear them up. We ought to go over and destroy them. They were people immediately under duress and attack. And so was the church at Sardis, and so are we. What does it call for? Well, it says, "Hear, O God, for we are despised," meaning belittled and hated. "We are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Lord, help us. You attack them. You, O Lord, come and be our shield and our shelter. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Listen, we got to understand, we got a God on our side and against them. Did you know that? We have them against us, and we have a God that is on our side. And we can call on Him to be our strength and our help. But if we combine with them, if we just go about our way and we think, well, what's today? Well, I need to get dressed, I need to use the bathroom, I need to eat breakfast, and I need to go to work, and work, I need to make sure all these widgets and gadgets are in place, and never put an issue before our heart and our mind. Today is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day that whatever I do, I'll do it to the honor and the glory of God. And I will make a difference for Him. Without, you see, we don't realize we're at war. And we don't plan our day. We don't have the frame of mind and the attitude. He said, "Be watchful." That's what He's talking about. Put a guard up. And so we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. See, they got up each day with a determination to build God a wall. See, at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church, we ought to have a mind to work for God in all that we do. Yes, we're to give our employer a good day's work as part of our testimony, but for the glory of Christ, and with the intention and determination to bring glory to Him and to strengthen His kingdom and to bring other persons the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, said, "Boy, we got lots of enemies out there," they're gathered together in a company, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very angry. We're not. So when someone shakes your hand and smiles at you, be wary that there's not a weapon there to place into your bosom. Because they hate us. You know, that's the distinction between we love them, they hate us. But we are at war. We have to be prepared to be at war. We have to be watchful. Watchful here means aware that we are being undermined and attacked, to be overcome. They are trying to reach up, bring us to the place where we are no longer engaged in the war. So He said to these people whose flame had gone out and were almost dead, "Wake up here! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! What? The enemy is there at the gate. Realize you're at war. Be watchful is an issue of war here. It's not just the idea of rubbernecking as a tourist the things around us. It has to do with be watchful. Be watchful. Beware. Be prepared to fight." And it said, "And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless," now here's the concept of being watchful. He never lost sight. See, Nehemiah couldn't he have been kind of cajoled into a friendship relationship with all those people, and they wouldn't have been angry. If he'd have just come there and interacted with them and didn't set up something that they felt threatened by. They were in charge there. They didn't want anybody else to come along and mess up their bailiwick. And if he had just said, "Well, listen, we ought to just kind of get along with all these people," instead of thinking, "These are our enemies, they want to destroy us. The only reason they're compromising, wanting to be our friends, they're wanting to consume us. The only reason this world wants to be your friend is to consume you, to destroy your life, to destroy your testimony and your witness." and your battle and your cause. To get down your walls of protection God has given. To tear down your place and center of worship. By that I mean, first of all in your heart, but they'll tear all these things down too. And nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. We petitioned God, brought our attention to Him and His attention to us. He's always upon us, but ours is not upon Him until we bring it to Him. And it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Be watchful. That was the first admonition to these people to recover themselves out of the condition that they were in, where their walls were torn down. Build them back. Stir those flames. Be watchful. Realize you're in a war. Get up there and be prepared to do the things that are necessary to revive yourself. And if you're revived, to stay awake. You've got to continually, day by day, year by year, month by month, decade by decade, continue to be aware and to live in accordance to those principles which you understand and see. Don't forget them and go to sleep. And it says, and so we set a watch against them day and night. It ought to be something continually upon us. And then Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we will not be able to build the wall. So there are things that hinder us that we must recognize. And our adversary said, and I can talk about rubbish here for quite a while within the framework of the Lord's church. That's why we keep the rolls cleaned up of the mixed multitude. It hinders us. It hinders our relationship with the Lord. The whole church, the blessings of the Lord upon us. But he says, and our adversary said, they shall not know neither till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. In other words, there is a strategy and a plan. We're going to do it by what? Who is the most subtle of all? Who is the one who works by deception and trickiness? He knows that when we as Christians are standing in the strength of Christ, He has no power to ruin us and run over us in His mightiest onslaught. But when He comes, when we are not alert and aware, and we do not have Christ strongly within our view and upon our side, and they come in by stealth. He can get us looking another way. He can get us involved in other things. And He says, hey, look, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. I want this thing to stop. I do not want this church to be there. I don't want in Sardis a church of the living God. I don't want it here. And we can just put them to sleep. And we can destroy them. As long as they're awake and watching, we cannot, with our greatest power, come in the midst of them. And then it says, and that's true. Don't you understand that? We don't have to shiver and to shake of the power of Satan to overthrow us. We have to shiver and shake about going to sleep. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence we shall return unto us, they will be upon you. In other words, we warned the people. We said, wake up. Wake up. The enemy is out there. They intend to destroy you. And I say it, not just in the place of Nehemiah to those people, but here to you. And God has given the angel of the church the responsibility to bring these things to the churches. The enemy is gathered. They're upon you. Oh, yeah. You have to stay awake. You have to stay alert. You have to be alive. You cannot allow your spirituality, your first love, those things to die away. Your yearning to serve and to please Christ. Your concern for the lost souls. You cannot allow it to fall away and die out. Nehemiah arms the laborers. Therefore, said I, in the lower place behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. You know what our weaponry is. It's enumerated. It's enumerated in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. We do not want to go to sleep 1 hour without our weapons beside us. We must have someone always alert and awake and on watch. We must be. And he says, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. That's important, isn't it? I don't want to fight them like this. I don't want to fight them like this. Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. We've lost too many of our houses. We've lost too many of our children. Have we not? It's because we have not been watchful, perhaps. And I'll tell you, it may not be the fault of the one who lost their house and their daughters and their sons. It may be the fault of the watchman next to them who didn't do their part. And they came between that myself and the other stalwart over there because we had a weak link in that line of defense. Those in our midst who will not take up the sword, who will not be watchful, who do not maintain the fact that they are under attack, that we are at a war. Listen, do you understand that? I remember when we started this church, I had a group of young men who understood that and young women who understood that. And some of those are still here, but so many have gone through that have been a soft spot in the wall. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. If first, brethren, before you can do the work, you must have stood up and watched. You must have let the enemy know we are here. We understand who we are. We understand what we are up against and we understand the God we serve. And we're not afraid of you. Then we're in a position to start building. And it says, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work and the other half of them held both the spear and the shields and the bows and the harbingens. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They all got into unity. And they all got into a state of what? Watching. Be watchful. Be watchful. Let's have our weapons and let's have our materials and let's have our tools all at the same time. They which build it on the wall and they that bear burdens and those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. We worked. We held a weapon. And then it says, they which build it on the wall bear burdens. Everyone had his sword girded by his side and so builded. He that sounded the trumpet was by me. There's someone who is always letting people know. The enemy is attacking here, the enemy is attacking there, keeping us aware. There's a trumpet among us. There must be a trumpet among us. It must be the voice of many of us going forth to remind us we're at war. And I said unto the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and large and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. We are scattered out at work. The laborers are few, Jesus said. He said the laborers are few. The fields are white unto harvest. Pray that the Lord will send harvesters, laborers. Mission Boulevard needs laborers. Don't you know we got a great work? We've got a large work that's scattering throughout the entire world and this city and this county and this state and this country. We need laborers. We need to be able to pick up and build whatever they need there in Panama to take care of this issue of the education of the teachers and of the law enforcement people and the security people of that whole nation. We must not be a people who says, well, we just don't have the assets and resources. God is with us. It says He's with us. But we need laborers. Nehemiah needed laborers. He saw we've got a great task. And we've got big spaces in between so that the enemy can find his way to slip in and slow us down. And what place therefore Therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. The trumpet says, we understand where the points of attack are, and we are in unity, we are prepared to fight, we're prepared to labor, but we'll go wherever, and we'll put our forces where they need to be. We'll fight strategically. And then it says, so we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. You see, we should never go asleep. I know that we have to sleep, and I know this doesn't apply directly to our physical sleep and wakeness. But the Lord just saying, never, as a church, go to sleep. Don't find yourself in a month, in a day, in a week sometime when our church is just not alert to the attacks of Satan upon us and dealing with them. I try to do that as a pastor. But you know, we don't always hear, do we? We don't always hear. That's why he said a little bit later in Revelation, in that same passage, in that same church, he said, remember what you heard, what you received, and how you heard it. How you received it and heard. How you responded. Keep in mind, we need to always be responding. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one of his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night there may be a guard to us and labor on the day. Center your life around the Lord's church. Don't think of it as just a small side issue. Israel couldn't do that. God had them move with the tabernacle and stop with the tabernacle. People think that one church is as good as another. But God adds you to the body that pleases Him, and that is where you are. And that's where you're supposed to gather yourself. That's what you seed and center your life about. Because that's the main thing. So neither I nor my brethren... Hey, listen, thank you for those people of you that have been engaged in building this church and sustaining it all these 35 years. Can you think of anything when you get to heaven that God is going to be more happy with and hold to be more significant than that? Because all the souls we've won has been because we've kept the truth alive and sustained our commitment to that gospel. And our awareness and our watchfulness. This is the most important thing we can do. The most important thing they could do is go back and build the walls about the house of God and build the house of God. To raise it up again. Because their worship was dying. And so I have the final verse, so neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Now there's a whole sermon on that, putting off our clothes only for washing. But I'm saying, they were watching, brother. They were watching. And the admonition to that church began with, be watchful. Think about it. I can take you to Ezekiel and talk to you about the watchman on the wall. But this is sufficient for tonight, don't you think?